COVID-19 vaccine doses are open to all adults in Michigan starting today. And there's a certain sense of, what would you say, elation, relief, maybe even giddiness in the air as we start to imagine the after times. But we ain't there yet, folks.
Our volumes in the emergency department are going up. The numbers are as significant as they had been with the prior surge, although the types of complaints and patients are changing.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Michigan's surge of COVID-19 hospitalizations over the past couple of weeks, with some hospitals nearing bed capacity, has shocked many of us back to reality about where we are in this pandemic. I think a lot of people have seen that heat map of the United States that shows Southeast Michigan and specifically the thumb in the red once again. But some doctors say that this surge looks much different inside hospitals than it did a year ago. We've invited one of those frontline doctors to talk to us about what's changed. Dr. Patricia Newhen is an ER physician and the Emergency Medicine Residency Director at St. John Hospital in Detroit. Dr. Newhen, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me on the show.
What's different in what you said, the types of patients and the severity of the cases?
The patients are younger right now, and part of that may be that the vaccinations have been aimed at the older population. So the patients that we're seeing are younger and actually less sick than we saw in the first surge of 2020. And that may be for multiple reasons. Maybe we're able to treat them better with therapeutics in the hospitals. But I think that there's just been an essential change in the acuity of the illness that we see. Patients are coming to the hospital sooner, perhaps, as well. And so the whole dynamic of how we treat COVID has morphed into something more common for us. And we're seeing those changes. So younger population, not as sick, not as many patients in the ICUs, although we still do see patients going to the ICU.
I understand that your training is emergency medicine, not in epidemiology, but can you expand on that a little bit? What do we mean when we say that the essence of treating COVID is changing?
I think in the emergency department and throughout the hospital, we are more quick to initiate therapeutics. So starting IV steroids in the emergency department, as well as antivirals, in the emergency department with the approval of infectious disease, as well as attempting proning of patients so that where the COVID pneumonia tends to reside is in the posterior aspects of the lung. So if you prone them on their stomach, they are able to get more oxygen into their system. And knowing which patients need to go to the intensive care unit fairly quickly are things that we've learned since the first surge. And so we're able to treat the patients quicker, and it actually, frankly, has become more routine for us to start these medications and know how to disposition the patients to the proper level of care within the hospital.
When hospitals first started seeing COVID patients in 2020, there was a lack of ventilators and of PPE supplies. I can't remember the last time I've heard someone in medicine bring up ventilators in the past 6 months. Do you feel like you have what you need?
Absolutely. And I think across the country, especially within the large urban areas, we have many ventilators. I think the real issue right now is nursing care. So we have the ventilators, we have the space, we have the rooms, but many times the limiting factor are the individuals to treat the patients in the ICU. So I think across the country, it's very clear that we have a lack of nursing, and we're all kind of vying for those same individuals to help us. And so they're a commodity, a hot commodity. So you'll have job opportunities across the country, depending on where COVID is hitting, for nursing to go and work and have lucrative short contracts. But it's not the actual machines or the ventilators, but the personnel to treat patients who are on those ventilators that's the issue right now.
It's not hard to understand how that would be an issue, especially after the year and the pressures that Michigan's nurses have been through. Are there other limiting factors that come to mind in terms of what hospitals are facing right now during this surge?
Not equipment-wise. I think that PPE is in good supply. The medications are available. I think the main thing is that we need more of our population to get vaccinated. On the hospital end, we have the medications, we have the beds. We just need the population to follow through on masking, to follow through on social distancing, and to get vaccinated.
Time for a quick break. When we return, Dr. Newhan talks about how the B.1.1.7 variant is and is not changing the calculus for hospitals right now. Back in a minute.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Are you seeing many cases of the B.1.1.7 variant in cases at the ER or among those folks who do need to be hospitalized?
Well, not all hospitals are able to do the genetic testing of the variants. We do send a certain percentage of our swabs to the state, and it's very clear that across the state of Michigan, we're all seeing higher numbers of the B.1.1.7 variant. And so presumably all the cases that we have right now, we assume are of the variant. And that could explain why the disease process is not as severe. It's spreading quicker, but the cases are not as dire as they were with the first surge. We don't know exactly how many are coming from our site with the B.1.1.7 variant, but the state statistics show that across Michigan, we're seeing higher and higher numbers of that variant.
That's interesting. I know that a lot of people were concerned that the variant might include not just a higher danger of infection, but a higher danger of life. But I think I'm hearing you say that treatment for COVID is not any different for B.1.1.7 than it would be for the strain that we initially got.
That is correct. So we're using the same therapeutics, and I think our ability to identify COVID and treat it quickly are helping in its management. And we also see that overall, the acuity is not as high, but definitely our therapeutics are contributing to that.
You're also, in addition to performing emergency medicine, you're the director of the emergency medicine residency at St. John's. So you have to think about talking to younger doctors about what's happening day to day. I just can't imagine what it's like entering medicine at a time like this. Are there ways in which the pandemic has altered your residence training?
Yes, we've had to adjust our didactic lectures. Sometimes we go to a virtual type of learning, and that's been difficult at times. I mean, we're able to be flexible in that part of their education, but getting together in person is always important for the wellness of the residents and having camaraderie between them. And so there's always this, you know, desire to get people together. We know that, you know, the residents have gotten their vaccines, and so it's easier for them to interact with each other, but we still have to be careful with masking despite the vaccination. And so as a program director, I have to look to their education, but also their wellness, and trying to find a balance between those two is very important.
I mean, isn't residency still an 80-hour week proposition?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So at work, they're always thinking about their exposure. They're thinking about their patients and their families. You know, it's difficult time-wise and with what they're seeing. So there's those added stressors with COVID on top of the persistent kind of residency pressures that you would have outside of a pandemic.
Residency is a time when doctors are honing their medical knowledge, but they're also sharpening their decision-making skills. Are there any different challenges at this time that they're dealing with in that regard?
I think that what they're seeing in the hospital helps them to hone those skills. They're able to identify patients with COVID and in addition, all of the other disease processes that they see on a routine basis and trying to distinguish those two different diagnoses. And so it's a time in medicine where they're learning so much more during the pandemic that it's a type of educational experience that they're not going to have in their careers at any other time. Because of the extremes in disease that we see and the newness in the disease and the therapeutics that they're learning about.
Dr. Patricia Newhan is an emergency room doctor at St. John Hospital in Detroit. Dr. Newhan, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. Hey, if you're enjoying what you get out of our work every day, it would be great to have you subscribe wherever you're listening right now. While you're at it, please do leave us a review. We'd love to hear what you think. Our executive producer is Laura Weber-Davis. Today's episode was produced by April Van Buren. Our theme music is by 14KT with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you so much for listening. Back at you tomorrow.